Hello, courageous hustlers, and welcome back to another episode. I am super excited about today's show. I had the honor and pleasure of sitting down and talking to Holly Vega, who is the CEO and founder of the Military Hearts Matter, which is a nonprofit organization where she is able to be a heart health advocate. And let me just tell you, the way she serves our military community is absolutely phenomenal. She's been serving our military communities for over a few decades. She is such a kind and so full of wisdom, and I just absolutely love having this conversation with her. And I really do hope that you guys listen to today's show. She shares an extremely powerful conversation regarding the importance of having a healthy heart and how, you know, heart conditions are, that we're just not talking enough about the heart. And so I really hope that you enjoy today's show. And with that being said, let's get into it.
Hi, Holly. Thank you so much for joining us today. I am so excited that you're here. As you guys heard, welcome, Holly, to the show.
Well, thank you for, you know, suggesting that you were going to go back into the podcast world. I'm so happy for that. And it's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Awesome. I'm so excited that we get to chat. Honestly, prior to even hitting record, we were just talking about just all the things, even online, and how it's so crazy that when we meet people online, sometimes we don't even pay attention to, like, we're just accepting friend requests just to for the sake of numbers, right? And right. So I love that you were saying that you really are super intentional about, like, reading bios and actually getting to know the person really a little bit more. And I love that for me, because I feel like we're going to be able to connect a lot more outside of this, you know, of this episode. And I feel like there's so much intentionality behind that. Nowadays, we don't really look at it as, like, there's another heartbeat on the other side. So I love that. And I appreciate the fact that we are able to connect in this area.
No, I think you said it best. Like, I think we are a society of, we worry more about the clicks and the likes. And yes. That's, for me, Facebook was always to connect with my family. It was not to connect with the society. I think that, you know, we forget that LinkedIn is for business, keep business where business is. Now is great because that's the fun. You can dance on it. You can sing on it. You can cook on it. Like, use that for your entertainment, your likes and your clicks. And then I don't even know what it is. Is it Twitter? Is it X or whatever? That gives you your statement platform, right? Make a statement and roll with it. You're feeling something, state it and keep on going. I think that we have so many different social media platforms that you don't have to worry about each one for the clicks and likes. Like, be authentic, be yourself, and use that to whatever you're looking for at that moment, right? So for me, it's never been about clicks and likes. I like forming really true friendships and long standing. And so I don't have a high standing on Facebook because of the fact that you can't see everything. If you got 3,000 or 4,000 people, how are you connecting with them? So I choose to spread that out. And if you know, and go through the different social media platforms, because some people like Instagram, some people like LinkedIn, like, connect with them on that level. You're going to have a lot more longstanding business relationships, longstanding friendships, or connections that are for the moment. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yes. I love this. The other thing too, is we also connected because you are also a fellow military spouse. And so we had connected on another platform because of, you know, being a military spouse. Do you want to share a little bit about where you guys are currently at and where you, whatever you're comfortable sharing with, obviously.
We are currently stationed at Parris Island, South Carolina. My husband has been a Marine for 28 years, as of last Wednesday. Our journey is about to come to an end, so he will be retiring this year. And together 25 of those years. So I joke and say 27 of those years, he was my cute boyfriend, and 25. I like the boyfriend better than the husband. I'm just kidding. But okay. So he's been my boyfriend forever. And we have, you know, 3 beautiful children who are all very actively involved and keep me busy. One's at Clemson. We joke and say that, you know, my oldest has spent what normal people do in the military 20 years, 20 years of service. He's done 20 years himself. And, you know, we love life and love the military, love connecting with other spouses. For me, that's how we keep going. And, you know, you keep me youthful. As I said, you know, I hit 47 this year, which is not old by no means, but the 20-year-olds coming in, wow, you're amazing. You keep me youthful.
My goodness. I would honestly, you do not look 47. First of all, I know that this is a podcast, so people may not actually see the video, but she is absolutely not looking like she's 47. I'm about to be 42. And in my mind, I'm like, people should tell folks what happens when you turn 40, because I feel like things are cracking. And I'm like, I don't know if you are feeling like that too, but we're definitely not looking like how we.
I feel it. I feel like I'm still young. And I think that's because, you know, having my children and they keep me on my toes, right? But I'm not. the 20-year-old anymore. And so then you look in the mirror and you're like, oh my gosh, I need better cream. We gotta lather the face up. I'm a little bit dry. And then, you know, you can't dress like a 20-year-old. I'm not wanting to dress like a 60-year-old. Where is it in between that we can still look, you know, still look hot? Yeah. I want my Anna Marine to still look at me and, you know, have twinkles in the eyes. And trying to find that balance of like, not, you know, I don't believe in the saying where you should just look your age. No, you should look what makes you feel comfortable. So I don't want to be a 20-year-old ever again. I'm content. I think that's a big thing. When you turn 40, you're so content. I know where I'm going and I know where I came from.
Yes.
Right? In your 30s, I feel like I was like, you know, finishing up having babies and you're still in that cycle. In my 20s, you're, you know, finishing college or getting married or you're starting a career or whatever. And you're still like, what am I doing?
And right.
You're pretty good inside. They say when we hit our 50s as women, that's like the golden. I'm like, I will embrace.
Yeah, that's something to look forward to, right? I also feel like a little part of me feels like when I hit 40, I kind of did everything a little bit backwards. Like, even though I know you said like in your 20s, you're getting married. I got married in my 30s. And okay. So, and I was still having babies in my 30s, which my son, the youngest one, I had him at 33. So that was the last baby. And so it's like, okay. Yeah. And listen, the whole having babies from the first, my daughter, the first one, I had her when I was 18. So the difference between 18 and 33, the body just huge difference. Right. But when I got to my 40s, I really feel like there was like this filter of, I don't give a crap anymore, that I was like, oh wow. Like, I really don't care about a whole lot of things that used to stress me out. No longer stress me out. And it was just like, it was so freeing. And so I can't imagine what it's going to be like at 50. Like, does it get to another layer of, I don't give a crap?
I think everybody has different personalities. I'm a people pleaser. I had to learn a few years ago that I just can't please everybody, and you can't make it, and not everybody's going to like you. And that's a hard thing, because, you know, I want you to like me. I want to be your friend. And then I realized not everybody's your friend. And some people learn that at a younger age, and I didn't. I learned that at a much older age. But then you come to the point where that's okay. It's okay. Yes. That I can't please everyone, and I'm not going to make it. And I'm not everybody's cup of tea, right? You're just not. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where you become, people say, well, you have confidence. Yeah. Because I learned to embrace and accept that there's nothing wrong with you or me. We just don't fit in the same cup.
I love that.
And there's a reason why there's different size cups and teacups. Like, it's just not for everyone. And yeah. So I think that's
what I love that.
If there are 50s, if it's because your kids are much older, and, you know, I think I had my first child when I was 26, but my boys are 16 months apart. That was God intervention. No, not on our plan of path, but I mean, God gives what you need, not sometimes what you ask for. And they're a blessing now, but when you're in that first phase of things, right, you're especially a military spouse, you have so much on your plate, and then you're trying to compartmentalize how this all operates. And yeah. It just sometimes just falls apart.
Yes.
Okay. But when you're in your mind, it's not okay. And then when you get older, you look back and say, really, like, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. Right. So I think that's why it's easier for the last child. Mm-hmm. Because you're not trying to put that all into a perfect box. And you're okay. You're like, it's the phase. It's just going to go away. And then the certain things that irritated you, now you miss, you know, like, well, you're not going to let me go and take a nap with them and cuddle like when they were little. But baby is like all about it. You know, like, yeah, you want to still cuddle with me? Let's cuddle. And it's just a phase. So you appreciate the little things that drive you crazy, because you know that for the long term, they're things that you're going to truly miss.
Absolutely.
That's that piece, right?
Right. Let me ask you something. So obviously, you know, one of the things that I love about, you know, bringing people on this show is basically just talking about, like, I mean, from what I'm hearing, like, you have been a military spouse for over 25 years, right? You have, I can't even imagine, like, I've been a military spouse for about 10 years now, right? And I feel like we've gone to hell and back, and then went back and like back and forth, right? What has been one of the most courageous things that you feel like you guys have gone through? And it doesn't have to be relating to his job or your, or whatever your role is with your family, but for you personally, that you feel like you've done that has really determined and changed the trajectory of your whole life.
Yeah, that one's actually an easy one. I think that, you know, and I'll be very honest with you, I didn't look at my husband at first and go, oh my gosh, you're just the most cutest thing ever. And, you know, I mean, I was mid-20s and out in California, and I was like, oh, we're gonna have a great time. And he looked good before. And I'll let you take that from there. And that's the point of a young 20-year-old. But then, you know, you connect, and this life ends up taking a different path that you originally, I never pictured myself marrying someone in the service or going around the world, you know, following their career. I don't think that we set out for that. And if that is something you did, there's nothing wrong with that. That's just not, it was not for me. And most of the people that I know, it's not. 9/11 happened, and that sped up a lot of things, you know, for many of us in that era. You know, you had the wedding that you planned was not the wedding that you were having. You ended up getting married at the courthouse. And so those are, I think you have different trajectories of what you thought your life. But on a personal level, we're still a person before we ever met our service member. And like I said, you give up so many things that are willing, but not necessarily, that was not my career path. And then you have to, along the way, find yourself in order to sustain. You know, you can either drown in this life, or you can get a life raft and take off with it, right? And I'm not going to drown. And so you see a lot of that sadness and I don't know how to do this. And well, treat it as if you would live out in town, right? You're civilian still. You just have a title. You don't, you know, this is a title. We are military spouses. It's just a title that goes onto our personal resume, right? And there's good and bad with everything. So take that and run with it, right? Okay. So for me, we were out in 29 Palms, we're Marine Corps. So I don't know for the other branches what you have certain bases that are more deployable. And that's one of them, due to the fact of it being a combat base. And my husband was preparing for another deployment and helping another unit work up for their deployment. So he was extremely busy. 29 Palms is a very remote area. I got a phone call from my mother. I'm originally from South Carolina, where we're stationed. So it's taken us, you know, back, we got here right when COVID hit, 2020. So we're blessed that we got to come back to my home state. But at this time we were in 29 Palms. My mother called me. This is when we still had rotary phones, you know, cell phones just take over. And I got a phone call. My mother said they were medevacing my brother out to Charlotte, North Carolina, and she hung up. I didn't know what was going on. She wouldn't pick up the phone. She was going to call everybody else. Fast forward, we realized, we got the information from my mother. He had a heart attack. My brother was not in his 50s, not in his 60s, not overweight, none of those statistics. But you at first presume, right? We presume you must be old, you must be overweight. That's it, right? I was one of those people. That's all I knew about it. He's neither one. So I thought my mother had jokingly, like, she really didn't listen to the doctor. And, you know, he did have, in fact, a heart attack. And that conversation led to me talking to later that week with my oldest, who's now 20. He has ear, nose, and throat doctor. She noticed that I'm a very bubbly person, and I was not very bubbly, and I wasn't really talking. So we know something's going on when those two things don't happen. And she took her time afterwards to say, hey, I'm noticing you're not acting normal. What's going on? And I explained what I'm saying to you, but a little bit more detail, because I like to talk. And she stopped me to share with her story. Her story was that her husband, Colonel Worsell, had came back from Iraq. It was down in Camp Lejeune, and or Lejeune, some people like to call it. And he was working out, and he had a heart attack. At this time, we did not have the training that we have today. Today, most of our service members are trained for CPR. At this time, that was not the case. We also did not have the AEDs in all the buildings. Now you see that. That's more of a mandated order that's come down, and more so in the past couple of years, which is unbelievable, because you would think that years they would have those in the buildings, and that's not true. And so her story of what happened to her husband's passing because of being in a remote area, not having the trained employees and not being able to get EMTs there in time, unfortunately, he passed away. And so, and this is something that happens very regularly, but we don't hear about it because guess what? We're not NFL superstars, right? And yeah. So they're not heroes, but they're not on that level. So you're not hearing about it. It wasn't being talked about. And we had a social a couple of days later. Everybody was asking me about my brother, and I was able to share the story of her testimony. And that testimony led to spouses pull me to the side, let me know they had a stroke. Wouldn't even know they had a stroke.
Oh my gosh.
And high blood clots, high blood pressure, a lot of other things that had happened. And I was taken back. And so with my doctor, he had, you know, explained that, has my mother had a heart attack? Has my grandmother had a heart attack? No, none of that. And he said, you know, we already done your workup, but we're going to do everything externally. He did not dismiss me. And I want to make that very clear, that for whatever reason, as a woman, this is not even a military issue. This is a woman issue. We get dismissed for having anxiety and other issues. So in our symptoms are different than a man having a heart attack, very different. And so you get dismissed as having anxiety and everything when that is the fact that you had heart issues. He did not dismiss me. And it was the first time in like the history at that moment of my husband being a service member that, you know, like the doctor actually stood there as a male and did not dismiss me. And I want to make that very clear. He was really great. And he gave me the best advice ever. And he said, as a woman, usually y'all are an advocate for your children. Be an advocate for yourself. And he gave me right, powerful words, right? Be an advocate for
absolutely
yourself. And it still gives me chills today. And so he gave me pamphlets. He told me, Holly, go home, look into all this information and come to questions that you need me to answer. So when we come back for this testing, I can help you answer it, or I can find those answers for you. And that's what I did. And so I took that, and within a week or two, I was sitting in a coalition meeting on the base. They were looking for ways to connect. That led to a whole nother probably podcast that we could talk about. You can connect on bases. And we ended up doing informational events, and the Marine Corps paid for those events. That was two years at 29 Palms. We moved now to Tampa, but we moved to Quantico. We did events there for 3 years, and then I moved to Tampa. And from Tampa, I'm no longer a Marine Corps spouse on a Marine Corps base. I'm a Marine Corps spouse at a joint base. It's Air Force, but really is Army. And how am I going to continue my advocacy and what I'm wanting, my passion? Don't ever give up. You just pivot, because you can always pivot back. And I had to find other ways to connect. And I reached out to the American Heart Association. And that was where we started doing heart walks. And they were not aware of this issue with our military and not be talking. And which led to more conversations. And they added Kelsey Danner to their Go Red. And she's a female veteran, which we have a grant now in her name. And this weekend, she'll be laying a brief at the 2 Minute Nome. And which led to the Military Heart Matters, which was basically a movement that went into, you know, coming into being resource information events that later on became now a nonprofit. And I saw there was a need, and we had gaps that needed to be filled. And if or another organization is not going to pick it up, sometimes that leads us to having to create something. And that's what I did. So when you're asking that question, that's a whole lot, but it takes you to where you were. And no, this was not my path. I didn't set on being a heart advocate. There was a story behind it. So my brother is my reason, but my why is Lieutenant Colonel Wurzel. And that why has led me to continue on this path. And now I have, you know, a team, and I have other people who are helping support, and we're keeping pressing on, because still to today, it's hard for people to believe that our service members and their families have heart issues. I don't know why people think that we're excluded from those numbers. 1 in 3 women are touched with heart disease. So there's me and you. If we had another girlfriend in the room, one of us is going to be touched in some shape and form. So when you put that number in, if you go to a conference now, look around the room, and if we said, you know, all women stand up, and then we gave them a number, every third person would have to sit down. That's either they have been touched by death, they have been touched by a family member, they've been touched by children, something along the lines. And then it's 1 in 4 men. And this is both on both sides, the leading disease on both sides for female men. So we're not excluded.
Crazy.
You're not excluded from that. And so, and the thing is that a lot of people don't talk about it. And I have my theories. People assume that this is, they cause this, right? So with cancer and things like that, they didn't cause this. So they can talk about it. You really didn't cause heart disease either. There are contributing factors that put you at a higher risk, but knowing your family history is very important, you know, and it's preventable. Heart disease.
Right.
And so the more we talk about it, and the more knowledge we have, the lower chances that you have, and more survival rates we have, and less chances of having a heart attack and having high blood pressure, but we don't talk about it.
That is so crazy to me. Like, the fact that you're saying this, and let me tell you, I think this is like, again, this is a testimony to why sometimes God connects you with certain people, right? I'm not saying that I have some kind of heart disease, but lately I have been waking up with like a little bit of a chest pain, and a little part of me is like, oh, I wonder if that's my heart or what it is. Or, and so I was even this morning thinking I need to talk to my doctor, because I don't know. Right. Like, I have no idea. And I promise you that as soon as you and I get off, I'm going to call him and make the appointment, because now this has actually literally put a little bit more of perspective into what I was actually feeling and that intuition. So I'm so glad that we're even having this conversation, because if you have even a little slight intuition that something may be wrong,
follow your gut, follow it. Yes,
absolutely.
We'll be following up with you to make sure that you know. I mean, the thing is, and for our military, since we are a military, you have resources to have all these testing done. So take advantage of that. Do the stress test. It's different. I'll have to give you all the links, because there's different testings. I'm gonna give you everything that you're gonna request. And our insurance covers everything except for one of those tests. And one of those tests we have to pay for. But guess what? That one test is life-saving. It's more life-saving than the other tests. And why our insurance doesn't cover it, I don't know. Soon I'll be posting pictures, because I have a workup done every year. And my husband does too. And it's become a kind of like a game for us. Whose digits are a lot lower, whose digits are a lot higher. And you would assume me, because I am not a skinny girl. And I'm proud to say that, because, you know, we all come in different shapes, and I embrace that I'm a curvy girl, but my cholesterol levels and everything are really good. I handle stress so much different than my service member does. He is Puerto Rican. He's a male. He's a Marine. I mean, that's a skinny girl for you. And I'm not. So, you know, everyone handles stress differently. And stress is the number one issue that we have.
Yep.
The other things are, yes, you know, eating healthy is very, very important. Not just heart health, but for mental health, for everything.
Right.
That's a contributor. You know what I'm saying? So if you eat a hamburger every day of your life, that's a problem.
Absolutely. And
that's not going to be the main cause of heart disease. That's a contributor. And so realizing that, like, what we can do to help take the stress away, because it's not going to go completely away. So it's got to go down, right? Really realizing what triggers us.
Yeah.
And that helps. And then listening to our body. You're saying to me that you're having a sharp pain. Could it be gas? Could it be, you know, you need, you know, an antacid because you're having that? Yes, that comes with, we just said we hit our 40s. That comes with a whole nother part of level of our bodies. And that could be a podcast itself, you know, with a bunch of
absolutely.
But that's not a guarantee that that's that. And so
Right. Best
lifesaver is if you have in doubt and there's just a part of you. But again, we don't talk about heart disease. And that is why we don't contribute to that. We think it might be something else. And mm-hmm. so we brush it. We kind of sweep it underneath the rug. And that's why I continue to talk about it. I want more conversations because the more we talk about it, the more life-saving is going to happen.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I absolutely love that you shared that. And your story to your why is such a powerful story, right? I feel like a lot of us, our why, like our purpose, right? Like what, why did I become this? Or like why? There's always a story as to why you become what you become. And I think those are the stories that I always love sharing and I love hearing. And so I truly do appreciate you sharing that story because I really do hope that I'm always looking for the one person that this is going to reach, right? Like it already reached me. Like that's the beautiful part about it.
That's why Military Heart Matters was created, was to make a bigger stand. We are a voice together, a mighty voice. We have, you know, a big mission and we're a mighty little force. And continuing to share because your story, when you share it, it connects people, saves lives, and, you know, provides resources and information. So continue to share and continue to talk. And so that's, you know, we have tons of beautiful testimonies, but that is one of the things about being a military spouse. I think that a lot of people assume that I'm a career volunteer because that's sometimes what I'm recognized on. No, I love volunteering, but I don't volunteer for everything. I said to people, volunteer what sets your soul on fire. If you are wanting to be a veterinarian or you're, you know, looking for that career path, go, if you can't, if you're in a rural area, like 20 times, go volunteer at a pet shelter. You just built your resume. Don't just volunteer. And volunteering has led to having that support to create a nonprofit. So, I mean, it was, you know, I'm not a career volunteer. I do have a job, like, you know, something that sustains my family. It's just not been what was talked about. And then I think a lot of people think that my nonprofit is love. Trust me, we do spread some love. That's what our programs are about.
I love this, though. Okay, so let me ask you this. What do you think is one of the most, out of all the things that you do, because it sounds like you are involved with a lot of different, you know, projects in life, which one's the one that actually gets you the most excited about working on?
Okay, so that would be our program, the Heart of Supernova. Nova was an Air Force baby that unfortunately her defibrillator stopped working. And Nova means a burst of a star. And we created a program that gives a burst of love. And what gets me more and more, there's two parts to it, is us being able to help our military children with the medical gaps. The first year that we launched this program was when we had, you know, the crisis of no formula. And we had a mom who was pregnant who nominated her child because she knew she was going to give birth and he was going to have surgery. Well, within that surgery, the esophagus got ripped. So now they needed feeding tubes. Now they needed formula. And what shortage do we have? Were we able to collect formula from all over? We were able to purchase a feeding tube kit. Basic from the hospital is scary and is plain. Just Google feeding tubes for babies and look at the price. We were able to purchase that and send it to them. That's one part of it. The other part of it was this year with our, when it went out this year and we got one of our seven children, the seven different states, seven different military children that we were able to bless. One of those, the day that I was able to call her and say that your child is going to be blessed, what we ask them, what are they actually needing? And we might not be able to fill the whole list, but we try our best, was the day that she found out the name of the child that her baby, which is our military baby, I say ours because it's part of our life, right? Saved the life because that baby passed away, but her child had survived. Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Because it was a heart transplant. And I was privileged to her sharing that story. No one had found out yet because she just got in the mail. And that heals me. That's what keeps me going. And Nova's story, you know, Nova, her mom and I worked together. We were in Tampa. And a lot of people don't know, but the day that I found out that I was Marine Corps Spouse of the Year and we had to do interviews for the overall Spouse of the Year was the same day. The night before Nova passed away. I had the interview the next morning. And I sat there because I had to leave from work. We had to go in and collect all the stuff out of the job because no one wanted to come into the office. I was very fortunate that the office I worked in that we were able to bring our children. And Nova was a baby. So of course she would always come in and we needed to remove everything out. And I came back to my house. I was sitting in the driveway and Supernova was not created because I knew I wanted to do something with children. I didn't know Nova needed to pass away for that to happen. Wow. And I sat in the car and I felt like, you know, I have to go do this interview. I don't want to do this interview. And I felt like I, you know, touched me that day and said that I was supposed to be what I'm supposed to be. And I needed to pull myself together in a moment that was very traumatic. My girlfriend, my coworker lost her child, her only child. at the time. And so, and here I am just thinking about this, you know, having to do an interview. And, but with that, I was able to take after my year, like the whole year we worked on creating Military Art Matters and knowing that I wanted to do this program. And I had to go to Liz and say, I want to do more. I feel like I was supposed to serve a purpose. It wasn't just this. This is nice. And I'm so honored. And who would ever thought I would want overall? Not me. I was still blessed at Marine Corps. But I was supposed to be doing something. And everybody had always said to me, you needed to create a nonprofit. You need to create a problem. And I've been hesitant. And I took that leap because I felt that I was supposed to be here for a reason. It was more than
absolutely.
And then that's how, so that's what fuels me. The fact that other spouses or other military spouses are dealing with something way more than my everyday life of worrying about some interview, right? Okay. Traumatic. And then they're able to share that with you and give you a peace. Nova's family gave me that love that I'm able to honor Nova forever. And, you know, up to date, we've had 20, you know, 5 children that we've been able to be able to bless. And that's what fuels me.
Wow. That is so powerful in so many different ways too, right? Because even the fact, even as you were saying, like, oh, I had to gather myself together and still push on, right? Yeah. Still go to the interview. Still, that reminds me so much of like, it almost brought me back to those moments where I've had to just button it up and just show up because that's what it is.
You're trivial. Like, I'm doing an interview for something that's an award. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what the outcome comes. At the same time, she just lost her baby the night before. There's no public announcement. There's none. I can't share that. I can't tell them that this happened and I'm like falling apart here. That's not acceptable. I just do your best.
Yeah.
And I really sit in the car, like I'm crying. Like I know I didn't look the best or anything. And I just said, this is just go do it, Holly. Just pull yourself together, mm-hmm. do the interview and walk away. And whatever the outcome is going to be the outcome.
Absolutely.
It's going to happen. And so, but in the big scheme of it, this is nothing compared to what's going on here. But absolutely. You can't share what's going on here. You have to do this.
Yes.
And sometimes we do things that we're not comfortable with.
Yeah.
We have to go into that uncomfort zone to be able to complete and be able to move forward and do other things that do make us comfortable.
Wow. That's a powerful testimony all around. And if there's one thing that I really want people to walk away with from what you just said too, even though like the whole story is extremely powerful, is the fact that you were able to still just say, you know what? I know there's things going on that could tear me down, that you could have stayed down there. You could have said, you know what, I'm going to stay in this dark place, but you still pulled yourself together and said, but there's such a bigger purpose beyond me, right? Beyond my temporary feelings and I say temporary because eventually that pain and, you know, that sadness does, you know, subside, but it's like, man, it's so hard in that moment to actually say, I have to just keep pushing forward. And I feel like that's exactly what you just said to, you know, you just shared where it's like, even though I didn't want to show up, even though I didn't want to do this, I knew that there was a bigger purpose.
There's a reason.
And there's a reason behind all of that. And thank you so much for sharing that.
The biggest words that were given to me that keeps me just when, because you can't go left and right and you can't say, oh, someone's doing this and you're not doing enough. Was Liz's words, her mom, Nova's mom, said that, you know, the doctors, you have to go into her website, you can see her story and all that. She tells this, the doctors basically told her to abort her baby because they knew that she probably wasn't going to make it out of the womb. And Liz and Troy both made the decision, and I don't want to start crying because it's so hard. They said, no matter what, we are not doing that. We're going to give Nova the best life we can, no matter how long she lives. If it's just 1 minute, she's going to have the best minute. And I think that that's like, testimony itself, that if you can give anything to our military service members, spouses, and veterans, like live the best life, even if it was 1 minute, do the best you can.
Yeah.
You know, who's to say that you living days and years are more important than that 1 minute? Because 1 minute can make a difference in anything.
Absolutely.
So, for me, I will continue to move forward. We'll continue spreading the word because this is something that touches our military. I mean, our commandant just had a heart attack on the Marine Corps. So you can Google that is out there. This is not the first case. This is happening. Right. It's just not talked about. We're not having a conversation, which we should, because you can live without an eye, you can live without an arm, you can live without a leg. You cannot live without your heart.
And absolutely.
When you have mental health issues, it weighs within your heart. Like there, it all comes together. And so we need to be better of talking about it.
Yeah. And I love that you even touched on how your mental state does weigh on your heart, because sometimes we do actually oftentimes brush off or like, I'll get over it. Okay, you can get over it. And that is true. And, you know, it could be a temporary thing, but it does technically take a toll of your body all around, right? I remember, and this is, you know, going back to when I, because I talk a lot about identity, like losing my identity during that time, it was taking a toll on my whole body, not just my mental state. And it's not until now that, like, I'm a little bit older. And so I'm paying attention to all the things. Like, as I said, you know, I'm about to be 42. And so, like, anytime I have a little ache, I'm like, oh, I need to go to the doctor. Back in the day, I used to just be so busy because I had little kids and I was working a full-time job and I was doing all that. I was always the last thing on the priority list, right? But now I'm like, okay, I need to put myself. And so now the aches and the pains and stuff like that, I'm paying attention and I'm being more intentional. So it's like, even though I had all these mental things back then, I know that it took a toll somewhere in my body. And sometimes you do feel it, like your neck and your back and all the things. So I love that you mentioned that. Let me repeat that. I love that you mentioned that. And I hope that people really walk away with the understanding that it's not just about brushing it off. Like, if you feel that you are going through something, whether it's minimal, go to the doctor if you have the means, go to the doctor if you have the resources, and get checked. And listen, I'm glad that you're going to check up on me and keep me honest on that.
Don't, you know, when you go, because you're going to have to go to your general doctor, and not that they are not professionals, because they very much are, but this is not a common cold. So you need to see a specialist. And there is nothing wrong with you being your advocate and pushing. Okay. What does it hurt for you to go see? Let the cardiologist tell you that there's nothing wrong with you.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. There, don't just say, well, they say, oh, you don't need it, because again, they're not a specialist. Mm-hmm. And they're looking at things in a box that their education allows, their knowledge, right? They're not thinking outside this box, because typical, this is the, you know, the stereotype, right?
Right.
That doesn't always fit into that box.
Right.
So you be your advocate. You push. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know what? I think that you're very knowledgeable and I do appreciate it, but I want to speak to a cardiologist. I prefer that. And
oh, I love that.
You know, because you don't want them to think that they're not knowing, because they are. They're very educated. They went to college. They went to med school, but they're not. It's like cardiologist is not going to go give you medicine for a common cold.
Right.
This is not a specialist. You know, the orthodontist is not dealing with the heart. Like, they're two different things. Like, so
right.
Specialists get the information that you're looking for and ask for the testing that's needed.
Right.
They're life-saving. And the thing is that if you do have high blood pressure, they can give you medicine. They can put you on special diets. There's things that can turn that around. If it's because of stress and all that, they can refer you. There's different avenues to be able to get those resources that are going to ultimately save your life. And if we don't take care of us, no one else is going to take care of you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
We're home.
Yeah. 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 Thank you so much for sharing all of that. Holly, tell me, where can people find more information about your organizations, all the projects that you're working on, more about you, connect with you, and all the things?
Yeah, please go to our website, which I can give you that link, and I'm sure you can pop it into your podcast. We're on, you know, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it now. please, you know, reach out.
Okay, so I'll definitely add that on the show notes so they can find you.
If we don't know it, we're military spouses are amazing. We have the people that do know it, so if it's something that we can't help with, we're able to direct you in another way that's going to help you. So
I love it. Thank you so much, Holly. Is there any last things you want to share?
No, thank you. We do a reflaying. The NDA 2022, my congresswoman in South Carolina helped us get approved through Congress, a Military Heart Health Day. Military Heart Health Month is February 4th, even though we promote heart health throughout the year. But February 4th is Military Heart Health Day. And we lay a wreath every year at the Tomb of the Unknown. This year we had Kelsey Tanner. She was in Navy who had a heart attack and had to be medically retired. And then our other relayer, she was in the Army. Her name is Tia. And they're coming in. We're so blessed this year to be our honorary relayers. And we're going to have an event at the Women's Memorial after.
Oh my God, that is exciting. And okay.
That, we lay the wreaths to honor our service members that have fallen due to heart issues. And we also honor and recognize our survivors and then besides the families.
That's beautiful. And I say exciting because it's exciting that you're bringing awareness with an actual day, right? Yeah. And sometimes it's like, even just one day is not enough because every day someone's having a heart issue, but bringing awareness to it.
Go to our page. We have I don't know when this is going to be. It's probably not going to be before the 4th. So, but if it gets aired even throughout the month, please still share. We have graphics and we would love for you to change your cover and let's spread awareness that, you know, heart health is super important in our military. We can only do it together.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Holly, for coming and joining us today. I truly appreciate you. Your mission is extremely powerful, and I'm definitely going to make sure that we share more about this. I feel like even just this conversation blessed me a lot, because I kind of feel now a huge urge to jump on and tell the doctor, like, hey, I really need to come and see you. And thank you so much for being connected with me and just being a blessing all around.
I really hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. As always, please go ahead and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. All those handles are here on the show notes. And also make sure you give us a rating. We would love to be able to grow this community. Share this podcast with anyone you believe is going to be blessed by this information. Make sure to subscribe so you can get notified of our next episodes dropping. And until next time, stay courageous.